Cohen & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, thanks to the law office of Amanda Gentry. It's time now for the TD Power Hour, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. TD, I know you saw the Derrick Henry stat this morning. Oh, my goodness. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing really well, man. It was great to get to go watch practice today, and we're going to keep this thing rolling, man. It's week four. Whiteboard Wednesday is up. I got some stuff on ESPN.com, man. I'm feeling good.
I mean, clearly, and I when I woke up, we were talking about the Derrick Henry stat, the one of the last 25 games. Derrick Henry's 32-76 is the best of any 25-game stretch in the history of the NFL. And I'm trying to get, I guess, put that into context in terms of, like, what does that mean? You know, and I guess, you know, I don't want to sound crazy or anything off the top rope, but I almost feel like maybe we aren't appreciative of how good he's been, of what we're seeing. Because I think the fans are appreciative and we know how dominant he's been. But, I mean, honestly, when I saw that number, I was floored that not Jim Brown, not Emmitt Smith, not Walter Payton, not Barry Sanders, nobody has done what he's done over the last 25 games. What's your thought on that?
Well, that's exactly the case. You kind of just take it for granted because, I mean, you look every week, you're getting some type of stat where he's in the mentioned with Eric Dickerson, Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, as you just said, and Barry Sanders, and even his teammates, right? Ryan Tannehill was like, oh, man, that's just Derek. And it's just crazy to me that it continues to happen just week after week where there's some type of crazy stat that you could pull about what he's done. And we all just say, oh, yeah, you know, that's how it works. That's what happens. And that's just a testament to just how much he's able to do, man. And the guy just keeps going and going and going. And I thought it was funny today he was asked about the workload. And he was like, man, I'm not concerned with that, man. I just go out there, excuse me, and line up and play ball.
I mean, Derrick Henry, to your point, TD, 113 on the ground against Indianapolis, 31 through the air on three catches. And it's like, well, it's about 140, 150 yards for Derrick Henry. And we're all sitting here like, yeah, Derrick had a good game. You know, that was – I'm like, guys, like 130 yards out of your running back and saying, oh, yeah, no, it's a good game for Derrick. That's not normal what he does on a week-in and week-out basis. And I think the one thing you brought up, the fact that Tannehill in back-to-back weeks has been asked, you know, are you just amazed by Derrick? And he's like, oh, no, that's just, you know, who Derrick is. I wonder if we'll look back on this, you know, what we've seen out of Derrick Henry the last 3 years and what we're seeing right now and say – man, we got to cover just pure greatness for how long Derrick was able to do that.
Yeah, it's one of the best stretches that I've seen out of a running back. But the thing that's really cool about all of this is it goes beyond just what you see on the football field. Mm-hmm. You know, Monday I got the pleasure of going and meeting with Derrick as he handed out gift cards to 25 kids from the Boys and Girls Clubs in Middle Tennessee. And he contributed 1,500 backpacks with supplies put in them for these kids. Because their goal was to get up to 5,000 backpacks donated. They were at, you know, about 3,500. He put the 1,500 to make it official. But then on top of that, he added $100 in gift cards for these kids. And I think, you know, when you have a guy that does, and there wasn't really any media there. I was the only one there just because it was a part of a project that I was working on. But he does this type of thing without the intentions of having a whole lot of spotlight and everything put on. He does it out of the genuine just kindness of his heart, right? And the connection that he has with the fans. So I think when you see all of this, you got a guy just dominating on the football field. You got a guy who's just so close to the fans. I mean, looking in Baltimore, right, after the divisional game in 19, he's running around slapping everybody's hand on the lower bowl. And then you just look at who else's name do you hear chant it? You know, it's only Henry's name that you hear chant it. And just despite all of that, he still just has that same humble approach. And he just keeps out just going and just working and just putting the work in and coming back each and every week and doing what he does.
Didi, do you think he's fairly appreciated around the country? I mean, you are the guy who is, if nothing else, probably the closest connection between us here in Nashville and, you know, the largest sports media company in the country at ESPN. And I think everybody recognizes Derek is the best running back and Derek is a great player. And yet they don't talk about Derek a lot on TV. You know, MVP conversations, where does Derek fit in there? Do you think he gets appreciated enough for what he does on the field?
Well, everybody doesn't recognize him as the best running back. That's the whole problem. I mean, no one runs the football better than him. But now you're starting to see him, you know, expand his game to catching passes and to pass pro and those type of things. I don't think he does get the national attention. In fact, I know for a fact he doesn't because, I mean, like, we have a process that we go through as far as pitching news and those type of things. And, I mean, it has to be a heck of a thing in order to be accepted for any Titans news. But especially, you know, for Derrick Henry, it's he's a guy that he's one of those ones where I don't care what happens. If his name is associated with something, that should be news, right? That should be on ESPN.com. But that's not always the case. Like, it's different from your Tom Brady's, right, where, you know, if the guy coughs like I just did on, you know, while I was trying to talk, it's SportsCenter is in Tampa, and they're doing a special on it. And I think it's just – it's different for certain players, and I don't think he gets the attention he deserves at all because, I mean, I don't really think people fully grasp what we're seeing right now. You know, we are seeing a guy do stuff that no one has done before. And the crazy thing about it is everyone knows that he's coming week after week after week after week. They're preparing to stop this man, and they still can't.
I mean, Pete Carroll's a defensive coach, and Pete Carroll's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. And Pete Carroll said, you were there, TD. I mean, Pete Carroll said after the game, our goal was to stop him. And he had 188 rushing. You know, like, that's our goal was to stop him. And he single-handedly, well, not single-handedly, but he took over the game. And I, you know, that stat really knocked me on my rear end. You're right, though, TD. Like, everything that Derrick Henry does, like in my seat where you do 4 hours a day, if there's any kind of Derrick Henry news, which Derrick makes it incredibly hard because he doesn't ever say or do anything controversial. But, like, if there's any kind of Derrick Henry news, it's like, all right, get the Derrick Henry on there because the fans here love Derrick Henry and want to hear the Derrick Henry talk. And yet, you know, around the country, Caroline and I were talking about, you know, if he was a Dallas Cowboy doing what he's doing right now, I mean, they'd carry his press conferences live on TV, even though he doesn't say much in press conferences.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was listening. I was telling Caroline during the break, I was listening to an old Mike and the Mad Dog podcast. And I know you're familiar, obviously.
Mike and the Mad Dog.
With Mike and the Mad Dog. 2006, Derek Jeter didn't win the AL MVP. Justin Morneau did. And listening to Mike and the Mad Dog talk, you would have thought it was a crime that Derek Jeter didn't win the MVP that year, and Justin Morneau of the Twins did. And I think about that, and I'm like, you know, with Derrick Henry, the only time that I feel like that we get up in arms is when something crazy happens, like somebody votes Saquon Barkley is a better running back than Derrick Henry, and then it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But to your point, TD, I mean, I think that when these MVP lists come out, the MVP list right now, Derek Carr, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, and it's like, where's Derrick Henry on those lists?
He needs to be on there. That's really the bottom line. He needs to be on there, but he's not because he's not a quarterback. And as you mentioned, he's not an eccentric personality.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of the pass catching that's in his game? Look, it's not sexy. It's not McCaffrey. It's not Kamara. But they're now designing pass plays for him. And not just screens, but they put him out wide the other day.
Yeah.
And Tannehill got him the football. And you could tell Todd Downing, who's come under a lot of fire. I don't know why the fans don't like Todd Downing right now. I mean, I think jury is still out on Downing. But I give credit to Downing of saying, hey, let's get the matchup we want, man for man, with Derek outside. Throw him the ball and let him beat that one guy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You get him the ball. You don't use the cliche. You get him the ball in space. You allow him to make things happen. And you pointed to that. And that's also why the screen game is important. But then you're also seeing just the check down option, right? If everything is covered down the field, you could just take your eyes and, you know, touch down and check down. That's how you go through it, right? That's the saying. But you could just check it right down, and that's what Tannehill's doing. And you saw it in the Seattle game where he just continued to get, you know, a 6-yard gain here, 5-yard gain there, 6-yard gain. And then that kept the down and distance very manageable and now your playbook is open. So, yeah, absolutely, he's beginning to get more involved there. And it's pretty cool to see the work that he does during the practice week, you know, start to show up and pay off on game day.
TD's with us for the TD Power Hour, 615-737-1025. Get your questions in for TD. Coming up next, what does TD think about the Titans through three games? We all know September football can be kind of funky here and there. What does he think about them through three games and the injuries? AJ, Julio, Bud Dupree, and how well the defense has played so far through the first three games. We'll do that with TD coming up next. Again, the TD Power Hour is presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. Plus, we've got a Titans injury, I don't want to say injury watch, but we've got an injury situation that we may have to kind of keep our eyes on a little bit. TD Power Hour continues next. Do you want a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the San Jose Sharks at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, October 26th? Head over to YouTube and subscribe to 1025 The Game's YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see the Preds take on the Sharks. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, October 4th. Stillman & Company, TD Power Hour. We're presented by TriStar Moving. It's ESP at 102.5 The Game.
AJ's injury, is it a good thing that, you know, that's a position that you're kind of deep in this year? I mean, there's been years past this franchise has not been able to go as deep when one or two guys are maybe on the injury report.
Well, I think what we try to do is try to insulate ourselves everywhere for a lot of things that come up. I mean, player availability fluctuates throughout the season. And so hopefully, you know, that everybody that shows up for meetings and comes to practice can understand that they could potentially have a role in the game.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel talking about injuries. We know A.J. Brown with a hamstring. A.J. Brown did not practice today with that hamstring. Bud Dupree did not practice with the knee. Caleb Farley did not practice with the shoulder. Julio Jones did not practice with the hamstring. Taylor Lewan did return to practice. Brett Kern did not practice with a groin injury, and they have signed a punter, Johnny Townsend. That, I think, is a concern. And Derrick Henry did not practice because he was resting today. And as Caroline and I were talking during the break, Derrick Henry can rest all he needs to. If they want to get the people TD with the hula skirts and the giant leaves and just kind of wave down Derrick Henry while he sits and observes practice, I'd be okay with that too. But what do we think of the injury situation, Teron? I mean, you're out there at practice. AJ and Julio both dealing with hamstring injuries. A lot of people are suggesting, you know what, give it the Jets game. See if you can beat the Jets without those two guys. What do you make of the situation?
Yeah, well, I tell you this. We got to talk to Josh Reynolds today, and he just seemed like he had a quiet energy that he's ready to unleash. So that was a good thing. You know, I asked him about just how frustrated it is, because I know just from talking to him on the side and then even in the pressers that he was really looking forward to coming here and playing with Ryan Tannehill. And he said, you just take it one day at a time. He said he's a full go. Just, you know, there's no limitation. So I think this is a week. And, oh, by the way, he also said he could see himself getting an opportunity this week. So I think this is when you'll get to see Josh Reynolds and just what he's capable of doing. But, I mean, we didn't see A.J. Brown. We didn't see Julio Jones. It's a hamstring. And that's one of those things where really the best thing for that is rest. You get the electronic stimulation and those type of things, but you just have to be careful with those injuries, because you could even feel like you're good, and then you go out there, and next thing you know, you're looking like Ricky and from Boys in the Hood, you know, when they shot him. You know what I mean? So you just got to be careful just how you go about with that hamstring thing, because it could creep back up on you. So really the best thing, you rest it, and I think that's why we'll probably not see A.J. Brown and Julio Jones this week.
The one thing that bothers me, though, is I think that if they're both dealing with hamstrings, I wouldn't expect to see them, especially AJ. And that is, as Adam Schefter reported, a week-to-week kind of thing. But what bothers me is I feel like there's a fan sentiment, and it may be true, but a fan sentiment of, well, rest these guys because it's the Jets.
Mm-mm.
And I struggle with that, TD. And, like, I know the Jets are lousy. But I struggle with that because I just don't think that that's how, like, a Vrabel guy or a Belichick guy or a, I just don't think that that's how those football people view football. I think they view the Jets as a team that has NFL players. And the last thing you want to do is go in there cocky and think you can beat the Jets, and then all of a sudden get embarrassed like the Titans did at Cincinnati last
year. Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to ask you, if you remember when they played the Bengals last year. So, yeah, you're right on point there. I think really it's not a matter of resting them because it's the Jets. It's a matter of resting them because you don't want this to spiral into something bigger. When you are going against some of the – you know, the tougher part of your schedule. I mean, once week six rolls around, you got five consecutive games that are all tough ones, including as important as you have made it out to be, you know, these games against the Colts. You know, so there's another one against the Colts. You got the Chiefs. You got – I mean, there's a lot of teams, you know, and a lot of top-tier teams. So you want to be full go for those. Obviously, you want to be full go every week. But the point is you don't want this thing to spiral into something bigger. And, again, it goes back to what I said. Best thing for hamstring is to rest. So this is a good opportunity to rest them. It also is coincidentally a time where you'll be able to get Marcus Johnson back. If you want to activate him, you could do that. And you still have Josh Reynolds waiting in the background. And Nick Westbrook Ikhinne is a guy that they continue to, you know, like and bring along. And they love his versatility. He stepped up and made some plays. Yes, he had the fumble, but, you know, he had a direct impact on two touchdowns. You know what I mean? He scored one of them, and then his drawing the pass interference set up the Jeremy McNichols one. So there are some options. You know, they love Cam Batson as well. Is this something that should make, you know, Jeff Ulbrich or Robert Saleh, you know, the defensive coordinator or head coach, is it something that should make them stay up at night? No, absolutely not. They'll have some degree of relief in that they don't have to face Brown and Jones, but still this will allow Tannehill to continue to, you know, spread the football around. And this team is just going to have to find a way to win. That's really the bottom line.
How big of a load is it going to be on Derrick Henry, TD, with those guys out?
I don't think it's going to be any bigger of a load than it's been. I mean, this is a guy that point blank, they rely on him. He's the engine for that offense, and it all revolves around him. So I don't think it's going to be any bigger.
Titans take on the Jets, Bud Dupree missing practice. I was listening to you on Darren Donick and Chase the other day, TD, and you have been – you know, I don't want to say that you've been staunch about this the whole time, but I honestly think, like, since the day Bud Dupree signed, you were saying, hey, I know he's posting videos on Instagram of him walking on the leg and working out on the leg, but we got to be careful about the Bud Dupree ACL injury. He didn't play last week against the Colts. My guess is they didn't want him to play, but would have, as Vrabel said, an emergency, or maybe if the game was close and they felt like they needed him. I am in favor of making sure that knee's okay, because I think the Titans are probably going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you got Bud Dupree ready to go when you need Bud Dupree. But Ola Adeniyi has stepped in and played so well that I almost feel like that gives the Titans time, the way that Landry and Adeniyi have played. It gives the Titans a little bit of time to make sure Bud Dupree's healthy. How do you feel about kind of the ramp up, and then kind of they're ramping it down, and then they're probably gonna have to ramp him back up, and what that timeline may look like for Bud Dupree?
Yeah, I think the ramp up period was good to see, but it just, as you watch him in pregame, you will see just kind of like he didn't seem comfortable running, I'll put it that way, and it seemed like, you know, there was a little bit of an issue there. I'm no doctor, right? Like I can't watch a guy and say that something is definitely wrong, but I could watch a guy and tell you that he's not running naturally, and that's not what Bud Dupree was doing, running naturally. So when you look at that and you just look at the full picture of the injury itself, as you mentioned, I've been pretty strong on my stance that you're not going to really see the full Bud Dupree for the first couple months of the season. That's just the bottom line. I have fortunately never had to go through a torn ACL, but I've talked to so many people that have, and you know how the deal works. It's typically, you know, that second year, but as you're working into that second year, or that first full year away from it, as you're working into that, that's when you start to feel more natural. So I would imagine you're going to see the better Bud Dupree later on this year, but it's good that they don't push him out there and make him push it a little bit further than he needs to right now, because that gives him time to go ahead and allow it to recover. And that's what I asked Coach Vrabel about, just where Dupree is. And he said it was just the way he's recovering from games, from practice. That's really what they're monitoring now, and that, in my opinion, is why you're not seeing him practice as much, because that recovery may not be as clean as they would like it to be. And again, it goes back to what I said about watching him run. It's not natural.
I would say that the two things that I would compare this to, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, because it is different positions, but when Jack Conklin got hurt at the end of the 2018 season, or the 2017 season, Conklin was considered one of the best right tackles in the game. And when he came back the next year, there was a lot of talk about, okay, you know, Conklin took four games off, and then Conklin came back, and Conklin wasn't the same. And then all of a sudden, you know, once Conklin got back in the rhythm, he was one of the more dominant right tackles in the NFL again. And Jonnu Smith suffered a big injury at the end of the season, I believe at the end of the 2018 season. And it probably wasn't until October, November of 2019 that Jonnu Smith really grew into being a true number one tight end. And I wonder if that should be probably more of the timeline, to your point, and your point kind of all along about Bud Dupree.
Well, yeah, that's typically how it works, man. And I think you have phases of this. You have the rehab, right? Well, the surgery, the rehab, and then you have the mental part of it. And I think that's important. And then you have the comfort level, and then you have the recovery. And that's pretty much, in my opinion, where Dupree is. And it was good that you mentioned Conklin, because, you know, in Conklin's case, I think he may have gone out there a little too soon and ended up not being himself. And look what happened. That cost the Titans a guy who, they, hindsight is 2020, they probably felt like they should have signed. You know what I mean? But you didn't get to see the Jack Conklin that really he was capable of being, because he was still working through that injury.
What do you make of – we'll get to the defense in just a second. What do you make of the injury to Kern and the Titans bringing in a punter? And the only reason I ask this, TD, is because we all learned last year that – just bringing in a punter when Brett Kern gets hurt is not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah, that was a tough situation, man, that Colts game. But, yeah, it's not as easy as it sounds. And you really get to see just how valuable Kern is to this team. And it's a right groin injury, if you notice that on the injury report. And that's one thing that we were told today. You know, when it's a kicker or a quarterback, a punter, you do have to designate which side, left or right. But in this case with Kern, you know, it's tough because he's a guy that's so big of a part of the way this team plays football, right? The field positioning, right? He'll flip the field for you in an instant. He only punted once against the Colts, though. So you're talking about a defense that was much better than his Jets defense. He only punted once. So let's see what happens against the Jets. They may not need to have as many punts, you know, especially considering how bad this team has played, you know, leading up to this point. So, you know, we'll see what Townsend could do if Kern can't go. But, I mean, you hate to see the team just, you know, not have a guy like Kern out there, you know, a guy who Dean Pease jokingly referred to as a defensive MVP.
Yeah, I'll say this. I think that the idea of not punting would probably be the one that Mike Vrabel would vote for, too, on Sunday if he got that option. TD with a 615-737-1025. One thing that TD nailed in the preseason, Christian Fulton. We got to get TD's thoughts on the defense and Fulton, as well as his thoughts on the Jets. You can get your questions for TD, and we'll take it at the bottom of the hour. 615-737-1025. The TD Power Hour is presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and by CraneWorks and RentalWorks. Caroline wants to tell all of you about BetUS.
I want to tell you about my official sports book, and that is BetUS. Football is back. We've even got a Thursday night game tonight, so get in on the action. BetUS has been America's favorite sports book for over 25 years, and that is exactly why I endorse BetUS, because they've been around a long time. They have integrity. They have longevity. And when you win on BetUS, you know that you are going to get paid. Plus, they offer live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, all kinds of crazy prop bets. Whatever you want to put money on, you can do that at BetUS. So call them today. They'll walk you through setting up an account. It is super easy. I've done it. All you have to do is just call 1-800-79-BETUS. That is 1-800-79-BETUS. Nobody in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS. You can get up to 200% in bonuses. So if you mention game, you'll get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. Nobody in the industry beats that. I bet at BetUS, so should you. Go now to BetUS.com. Join today. Put in promo code GAME for a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. That is BetUS.com.
You mentioned after the game on Sunday, on the reverse side of things, you want more turnovers on defense. How do you approach that?
Same way we have since April. We'll add another period today, and we'll show it to them, and we'll teach the techniques, and we'll keep practicing it. Positions. And there's certain things that you can coach, and there's certain things that you can't. You know what I mean? Like I go back to this. Bill, God love him, never told me how to strip sack the quarterback. You guys just got to go, and we're reaching for it, and we got to keep going. We're close. Harold's close. Harold's had a couple close ones. And as long as I think that you're seeing the right examples, there's some times that we miss them. We miss those opportunities. So it's like trying to increase opportunities, right? So trying to increase the chances that we're hammering at it and saying, okay, that's a missed opportunity, tracking missed opportunities, showing them those missed opportunities for when – not to say that it would have come out, but at least, man, we're getting tickets to the raffle, trying to get as many chances as we possibly can.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel sounding very frustrated when it comes to the Titans' lack of turnovers. But other than that, Teron Davenport with us for the TD Power Hour, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Craneworks and Rental Works. TD, I think Titans' defense has been pretty good. And it's not like they've played the scrub quarterbacks. I mean, they played Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, and Carson Wentz, and those guys are legitimate starters in the NFL, and I think the defense is – I mean, we talked all offseason about the defense, all last year about the defense. TD, other than the turnovers, I think the defense has been pretty good. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the defense has been pretty good, but when you have one turnover and you're 0.3 turnovers per game, you know where 0.3 turnovers per game makes you – Where it falls? Dead last. So anytime you're last in any category, you're always going to be upset about that. So I get where Coach Ray was coming from, especially when it's such a point of emphasis. I mean, you look through in the beginning of practice, right? They have ball disruption period where during individual period, they're literally doing everything they can to create the habit of forcing turnovers. So for that to be a focus and for it to be an area where they're struggling – that's clearly going to be frustrating. So I get it, but the defense has been pretty solid. I will say that, you know, outside of that Arizona game where, you know, the Cardinals just kind of did what they wanted to do, I think overall you look at what they've been able to do just as far as on third downs, right? The Colts only converted, I think it was like 2 out of 12 or something along those lines, 2 out of 12 third down opportunities, but they were 2 for 2 on fourth downs. But I mean, an area of focus. Guess what? It got better. And it was actually, looking at this, it was 3 out of 12. So you're talking 25%, which that cuts that nasty number from last year in half. So that's an area for improvement. Then even the red zone, you know, they did a better job in the red zone. And, you know, we're not just talking about inside the 20. We're talking about that low red zone, right, inside the 10-yard line. They only allowed one touchdown out of 3 visits into there. So those are some things to hang their hats on. But – this defense could even be better if they're able to get more turnovers and give the offense more opportunities to score the football.
TD, I think that the reason the defense is better is twofold. One, I think DeNico Autry has played a huge role in helping that entire defensive line. Ola Adeniyi has been great, you know, in that situational pass rusher position. Landry's played awesome. I can't put my finger on it. Is it the better defensive line and pass rush? Or is it the fact that Christian Fulton, who was injured last year, and I think maybe struggling to get used to life in the NFL, is playing like a top corner right now, and the secondary looks to be rejuvenated? Or is it that line that is actually putting pressure on these quarterbacks? Because even though Kyler got away in week one, I thought they put pressure on him. They definitely put pressure on Russell Wilson week two, and Wentz was miserable in week three.
Yeah.
So there is something to be said for the pass rush that we have complained about for a long time.
Why can't it be both? You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be one or the other. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is you have better play from your back end guys, better play from your front end guys, and you're getting that pressure, right? The corners are starting to challenge a little bit more. I mean, look at Christian Fulton. You got this guy going against DK Metcalf and holding his own. And not only – look, DK Metcalf had more penalty yards than he had receiving yards. Think about that. He had more penalty yards than receiving yards against Christian Fulton. Christian Fulton has emerged as a legit cornerback. And, I mean, the guy has solid match skills. He has solid – he can play zone too. You see him just settling into his own. So that's obviously helping. But then it goes back to Ola Adeniyi and what he's able to do. I mean, when you got this guy coming off the edge and getting the pressure that he's getting and Harold Landry coming off of one of his best games, you look at Jeffrey Simmons collapsing the pocket in the middle, David Long, the play that he's bringing, Dane Cruikshank. Did you see that blitz that Dane Cruikshank had, man?
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan Taylor was like
– TD, I got to be honest with you about
Dane. He got blown up.
I got to be honest with you about Cruikshank. You've been talking about Cruikshank, you know, when we say, okay, Hooker's going to move into the starting role. And you said, well, Cruikshank's there to – and I'm like, yeah, you know, Cruikshank's been on special teams. And Cruikshank is, you know, he's done some nice things over the years, but he's hurt. And he's – and, I mean, Cruikshank, the one where he got matched up in quarters coverage with Michael Pittman Jr.,
yeah.
I don't expect him to be able to beat Michael Pittman Jr. I mean, I just don't think that's great defense, honestly, you know, from the Titans to go quarters coverage and have Cruikshank or the week before Bradley McDougald on a number one wide receiver. But, I mean, Cruikshank has played great in 2 weeks of being out there in place of Amani Hooker. And that was something that you were kind of always mentioning. And I think everybody kind of like, okay, yeah, but, you know. And I thought Cruikshank's been awesome.
Yeah, and it's in sub-packages. But, you know, you could always, like, scheme matchups to your favor. And that's – excuse me, that's what the Seahawks did, right? They schemed Lockett, bumping him inside, and then that got him matched up, and it's just the way it worked against that zone coverage. But, yeah, I mean, for me, it's sub-packages with Cruikshank. I think that he is very well-suited to play in space. He's probably their best option as a dime linebacker, right? And that's something that he did at Arizona. And you just look at just the package of size, speed, and just that – he showed something on that blitz, right? Like, he showed that sense of urgency. And when you combine all that together, that gives you a good option. Now, I'm not sure how much that'll come into play this week because, you know, you're not going against Kyler Murray. You're not going against Russell Wilson. But I do think that they can go to those dime packages. Like, if they're able to get them into those third and long situations. And the thing with Cruikshank is he gives you some pass coverage ability, but he also allows you to play the run out of a sub package. And when you could do that and not be overly concerned about a team catching you in the wrong, you know, personnel package and being able to run the ball down your throat, that's definitely an advantage.
TD, what do you think about the Jets? We're talking about the turnovers. They haven't gotten them so far. If they can't turn Zach Wilson over on Sunday, that may be a red flag. But what do you think about the Jets as a whole? And I guess the bigger question is just how bad are the Jets?
Yeah, as a whole, I mean, they have a lack of playmakers. Listen to what Corey Davis said the other day, right? He said that he's starting – I mean, think about this. You got defenses focusing on stopping Corey Davis. You know what I mean? Now, that's no knock on Corey Davis. He's a solid player, but he's not a guy that you go into a game plan saying – we got to stop Corey Davis. But that's
Corey Davis is the good third amigo when it's A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. And then it's like, oh,
right.
Yeah,
so,
Corey
so,
Davis.
So look at that. That's what teams are doing. So that lets you know, where they are as far as the lack of playmakers are concerned on this team. Right? And offense, I mean, they have zero rushing attack. What on earth are they doing running the football? Like, they have no threat to run the football. And it's unfortunate because Michael Carter Jr. is a pretty solid running back. We had him on Talking with TD out of North Carolina. You got Tevin Coleman. It's just not working. So when you can't run the football, you got a rookie quarterback who is kind of seeing ghosts and holding on to the ball a little bit long, and then a porous offensive line, a lack of weapons in the passing game, you're going to get outscored 46-3 in the first half. And that's what's happening with them. And then defensively, I mean – their best guy in the secondary, he's out of here, right? 3 to 4 weeks, he's going to be missing. It's going to be a tough situation for them. As far as up front, you know, you got Quinnen Williams and those guys and C.J. Mosley in the second level. But I don't think that they are equipped to compete with a team like the Titans.
TD, we'll get your questions now. 615-737-1025. Your questions with TD. We're right to them next. The TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys and Crane Works and Rental Works. So, again, get your questions in now. Calls and texts for TD. 615-737-1025. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half-off gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slim, Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing. Get your deals now while they last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Stillman & Company, CSPN 1025 The Game. TD Power Hour is presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and by Crane Works and Rental Works. Let's go to your phone lines, which are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Questions for TD. Kinston has been waiting patiently. He'll kick us off. Go ahead, Kinston.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Question specifically for both of you guys, Mr. TD. Two guys that I would say have been disappointments at all, but really didn't take off like I thought in the trenches on both sides of the ball. Nate Davis and Jeff Simmons. Nate Davis will kind of pick up and kind of start off where you left. He's kind of starting slow. You can hear what you think about that. And Jeff Simmons, I know a lot of people are singing his praises, but I'm kind of still waiting on him to be this Pro Bowl, all-pro guy. I know he's been playing well, but a lot of people point to getting double-teamed a lot, but seems like he makes plays, but they're few or far between until the next play, kind of something he ran into last year.
Yep.
Kind of,
Thanks, Kenson.
Yeah, I'm with Kenson on Nate Davis. It has been extremely disappointing seeing that interior pressure and just how some of these things are happening. Now, there was a play where was it Okereke? I think it was Okereke. He had a sack, and some people mistakenly said that was on Nate Davis. The protection slid to the left, and that was actually on Jeremy McNichols. He had to go inside out, and he didn't pick up Okereke or whoever that linebacker was coming. But other than that, there have definitely been multiple times where it's just not getting a push, which is killing the rushing attack, but then also just getting that interior pressure. So he's definitely right on there. And, I thought this was going to be an all-pro season for Nate Davis. In fact, I felt last year was that. So, yeah, there's been a downswing on that. But as far as Simmons is concerned, I don't know that I would say he's been a disappointment. I mean, there are definitely plenty of plays that he's made, but it's tough when you got a D tackle like that, an interior guy. We're so kind of spoiled by seeing, guys like Aaron Donald get all of those sacks. And I know Kenston watches these games, so I think that's one of those ones where you got to go back and watch it a little more closely. Watch it again, and you'll see those plays. It's not always a play that pops out to you, right? It could be just him, as Kenston mentioned, taking that double team and allowing somebody else to come in. But then also it could be him just, getting that pressure, not getting the sack, but causing the quarterback to spin out of the pocket, and now one of your outside guys are getting it. So you're seeing those things happen.
I think as a group, to Kenston's point and your point, I think Jeffrey Simmons this year has been a bad boy. I think he's been pretty good. I think Nate Davis has been bad. Nate Davis, and it's stunning to me because I'm with you. Nate Davis had a great end of the first year, carried all that momentum into the second year where he was awesome. Mm-hmm. And now I'm watching the games, and when they show a replay of a sack, sometimes I feel like I have the same feelings that I used to have when Chance Warmack was at right guard, where I feel like I was smacking the table at least once a game going, Warmack, and I know Nate Davis is not Chance Warmack. Like, I know that. So that's frustrating. I think Simmons is a bad dude, and I think that, everybody is benefiting. Like, Harold Landry, for example, had 9 or 9.5 sacks 2 years ago. That number dropped significantly last year, and this year it looks like Harold's back to the same Harold. I don't think Harold got worse or better in between. I think it's the whole group working together, and I think Autry's doing a lot, and I think Simmons is doing a lot, and I think that's how Ola Adeni, now he's played well, but I think that's helping him too. And so I would say take the merits of the whole group as opposed to just the stats of one guy.
Next.
Devin texts in and says, based off of what you have seen from the Titans so far, what seed do you predict them to be come playoff time?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a good question. I would say 3 or 4, I would say. But there's a stretch coming up that's going to really, really let us know where they are. But right now, I would say three or four.
I wouldn't rule out one or two.
One?
Here's why. Who like, the best team that we thought going into the season in the AFC was the Chiefs, right? Mm-hmm. And they're one and two. And I don't think the Chiefs are a bad team or going to be a bad team.
Yeah.
But they got to play Justin Herbert another time. And the Raiders are 3-0, and they look like they might be okay. And Derek Carr looks like he's playing well. They're going to have to play him twice. And Teddy Bridgewater and the Broncos are 3-0, and I think that's fool's gold. But it also could not be. And so, like, that's a lot different than the Colts, Jags, and the Texans, which
I still think an argument could be made for the Chiefs or Buffalo, even Cleveland. It's still, in my opinion, that same cluster of teams. That's just the way I look at it.
I just think the division is so easy this year for the Titans.
And
then they've got games like this week, and that, you know, they may not be the best team, but they may have a better record because they don't have to play Lamar Jackson like Cleveland does, and they don't have to play. That's just my whole point on the season.
You know what? Week six starts, right? You know what happens?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So. You could count your blessings right now with these teams that they're playing, but the schedule is not getting any easier. So I think, you know, three or four, I would lean more towards three right now, but that could definitely change. But there's a tough stretch coming up, a tough stretch. And let's be honest, they haven't played their best football.
No, they have not.
The Canadian Titan Texan and says, after the last few years, one of the biggest pluses for the Titans offense was how efficient it was. Mm. Through 3 weeks, the efficiency just hasn't been there, particularly in week two when the Titans couldn't convert in the red zone in the first half.
Yeah.
Is this a matter of just taking time to gel, or is there a concern here about how Todd Downing is affecting this offense, or could it just be a fluke to this point?
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of taking time to gel. I think it is a matter of you know, you gotta get back to what makes them so good, and that's Derrick Henry in the red zone. You know, that's what makes you a good team, because Henry in the red zone and Tannehill's ability to win with his legs. So I think they need to get back into more of that boot action and those type of things in the red zone. So I'm not going to put it directly on Todd Downing as much as just it's a matter of just staying focused on what it is that. You know, allowed them in the past to be so good in the red zone, and don't lose track of that.
How much of it you think is because of the injury to Firkser?
Oh, yeah, you know what? That's a very good point. A very good point, because he's a guy that they, you know, short area quickness. They love him in the red zone and third down situations. But he's back full participant the last 2 days. So,
Flipple Snickle texts in. In reference to a conversation that Jared and I were having about Derrick Henry's production, Flipple Snickle asks, if Derrick Henry, let's say, rushes for 1,850 yards in 15 games this year, the Titans have got a first-round bye. Would you sit Derrick Henry for the remaining two games to save him for the playoffs, or would you continue to play him so he can reach that 2,000-yard mark?
You know, I would continue to play him, and it's not so he can reach the 2,000-yard mark. I just am a firm believer of I don't believe you roll into the playoffs rusty or having starters have a day, like a game off. I don't think that's not the way I would do it. And I always think of that Colts team, you know, and they rested their guys, and they got beat the first time they went out there and played, you know, in the playoffs. And you can't have that. So, for me, I would just keep them going. Again, it's not to get the record. It's just to keep that everything all together.
I'd say this. I think Vrabel, the one thing that I've learned about Vrabel the last 2 years is that while he's, you know, what it takes to win is number one, I think he values those individual achievements and what they mean in the history of football, the way he's treated Derek the last two season finales. I think Vrabel would play Derek, and he wouldn't do anything crazy. I mean, he's not going to give Derek the ball 45 times. But I think he would play Derek because of the respect that he has for how hard it is to achieve those accomplishments. And so that's the route I think they would go. And then whatever happens, you know, based in the playoffs, you can second guess. But I think that Vrabel does have a lot of appreciation for the history of football and what a back-to-back 2,000-yard season would mean. TD, do you think that if Derek gets 2,000 in 17 games that people are going to knock it?
They will. Because, look, Jared, here's the deal. People do not like running backs having success, right? You remember, just wasn't too long ago, you had these guys, well, I wouldn't give a running back a second contract. What? Mm-hmm. Did you not see what Derrick Henry was doing for this team? How, you know, all of Nashville was on the shoulders of number 22 and he was carrying them all the time? So, for me, yeah, they're going to find a way to minimize such an accomplishment. But, I mean, end of the day, it is what it is, man. Like, this dude is hands down the best toter of the rock in the league. And I don't think there's an argument to be made.
TD Power Hour, presented every week by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. Talking with TD podcast is available. Who's on the Talking with TD podcast this week, TD?
Yeah, as always, forever Titan Chris Sanders. But this week we talked a little shop with Rich Cimini. He is the Jets reporter covering that team for ESPN NFL Nation. So we got into just some Corey Davis talk and just talk some shop, man. That's what we do.
Speaking of Corey Davis talk, that's what we got coming up next. TD, appreciate you as always, man. We'll talk next week and on the pregame show.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you all.
Yep, TD at his best here on the program. Speaking of Corey Davis, I have an opinion on Corey Davis. And I like Corey Davis fine, the guy. He's a great guy. I have an opinion on Corey Davis and something that he put out there publicly yesterday about what the Titans, I think, really think of him. We'll get to that coming up next and why I think it's important here on Stillman and Company. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. There is no better time to upgrade your essential home systems than this month with my friends at Hiller. Hiller is offering you credits for your old home systems. Trade in your old HVAC unit. You'll earn up to $1,500 in credits towards select new systems. Upgrade from a standard water heater to a tankless water heater, and you could earn up to $500 with your trade. Trade up to a new electrical panel and earn up to $500 in credits for your old one. Their work is backed by the Happy You'll Be Your Services free guarantee, and I know this because they take absolutely fantastic care of my home. Their technicians are continuing to take measures to keep you and your family safe and healthy on every single call. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Nashville Predators, the Vanderbilt Commodores, and the Tennessee Volunteers. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.